Hazrat Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma had lost his sight when he had approached advanced age. So his grandson used to lead him to the masjid. His Ibn Umar is known as a great alim amongst the 10 great ulama of Medina Munawara. He has a high position. Nonetheless, he had sat down and a group of Iraqis had come to see him, ask him some questions, deen, etc., etc. So they asked him about a mosquito being killed by someone. Someone trapped a mosquito and it died in the state of ihram. So what is the position with such a person? So Ibn Abbas radiallahu, Ibn Umar radiallahu, he was affected. And he explained to those Iraqis that on the one end you go and murder the grandson of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and you don't even wink an eye at that, because the Iraqis were responsible for this crime. So you go and murder the grandson of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Hussein radiallahu anhu, in cold blood, and you don't think much about it. And here you become suddenly so cautious that you worry about that mosquito that is trapped and killed. Anyway, his grandson cautioned him, saying, Nazara ilayka bi nazrim muhmarratin nazara zalili ila al-azizil qahiri. He says, Nana, this Iraqis, you know what they did? You know how they looked at you? They looked at you with bloodshot eyes. Nazara zalili ila al-aziz al-qahiri. Like how a mean person, how he will look at his master. So this is the type of look they had given you. Sometimes, in fact many a time, this is our problem, that we become overcautious with the very small and minute things, and the big things we leave out. Major things, we're just concerned about it, become too particular about the very, very minute things. Hazrat Jimura Masihullah Sahib Rahmatullahi says that he was in Jalalabad, he was in Tanabon, and there was a nikah to be taking place after the namaz. So after the namaz was over, Admiral Tanvi Sahib Rahmatullahi turned, expecting the nikah parties to come in front. But the one party was there, and perhaps the boys' party wasn't there. So when I inquired, what happened? The girls' party is here and the boys' party isn't here. What's the problem? So someone explained to Maulana, the boys' party, they had read your kitab, Islahur Rusum. You know, all the small rituals and formalities they have. So they had read your article, and they felt that they should eliminate this completely, should take it out completely. The girls' party said, no, we will take out, but some of the things we'll have to do. Now, some of the rusum are quite serious. Some of the rituals and customs that are practiced at the time of nikah are quite serious, bad. And some, they are not to be done and not to be condoned, but they are not so serious. You will say it comes to the level of makruh, right? Undesirable. Now, person made nikah, and after nikah, everybody comes to receive him, comes to meet him, wish him, and congratulate him. So congratulating him, that is an act of sunnah. Give him some dua. Barakallahu lakuma wa baraka alaykuma. That is masnoon. But shaking hands and then embracing him and all that, that's not masnoon. But now it's not such a serious crime. It is not right, but not such a serious crime that you can say it's haram and kufur, etc. You can't say that. Now these people, they took the thing to the extremes, and they say, well, if these people are not prepared to go by the Islah al-Rusum, then we're calling off this nikah. They went to the extreme. That if these people, this is the girls' party, they are not prepared to conform to the Islah al-Rusum and the teaching of Islah al-Rusum, then we're calling off this nikah. Anyway, they didn't come, the nikah didn't take place. Mawlana sighed with grief. Hazrat Rahmatullah is explaining to us that Hazrat Mawlana Thani Sahib Rahmatullah sighed with grief, whereas he is the person that prepared this kitab. He sighed with grief and he got up. He took the hand fan in India. At that time they didn't have electric fans and all that, so he took the hand fan and he's about to leave. Other hand was his shoe. So Hazrat Rahmatullah offered to help him carrying the fan or the shoe, one of the two. And as they proceeded towards Mawlana's home, so Mawlana says, Malum nahi logo ka kya ho gaya? I don't understand people. What's gone wrong with them? I don't know. What's gone wrong with them? So Hazrat Rahmatullah, he expressed his feelings. He says, ha. جب تر ہوتے ہیں ایسے تر ہوتے ہیں کہ بالکل ڈوب جاتے ہیں اور جب سوکھتے ہیں ایسے سوکھتے ہیں کہ قطرے کو بھی پاس آنے نہیں دیتے کہ when they become moist they become so moist that they become absolutely drowned. If they are moist, then so much of moisture that they are totally drowned. And on the other hand, if they become dry, they're so dry that they won't allow a small drop also to touch them. So both extremes. Hazrat Mawlana Thani Sahib Rahmatullah was very pleased. He applauded him. He said, ha, kya kaha, kya farmaya? Asked him to say it for the second, the third time. This doesn't give us license to do things that are undesirable and makruh. Remember, the nature of sin is such that today you do the smallest sin, غير أولى, thing that is undesirable, then as you become habitual in the things that are undesirable, then you become more daring towards things that are impermissible, مكروه تحريمي. And then when you reach the border of مكروه تحريمي, then it's easy for you to cross onto haram. Right? So these are all borders. These are all warning signals, you know. Slow down, slow down, slow down. Before you come right to the checkpost, giving you a warning signal. This is a warning signal that don't cross now, don't cross again. So these are all warning signs. Makruh, undesirable, غير أولى, unappropriate. It's not an appropriate thing, not an appropriate behavior. Don't do this. So these signals don't give us license. That they only said it's inappropriate. So let's go. No problem in doing such a thing. You ask an alim, for example, you want to go buy a bottle of soda water, or you want to buy a bottle of cold drink, and you say, I'm going to the bar but just to buy that soda water or that bottle of cold drink. So he will tell you that the soda water or that cold drink is permissible, beverage is permissible, but it's undesirable for you to go to such a place. Now he becomes defiant, says, no, what's wrong in doing this? I'm only going for this, I'm not going for anything else. I'm only going for this, I'm not going for anything else. Well, then Alim will tell him, but I'm telling you what's good for you, don't go and do this thing. Anyway, he goes. When he goes, see, there is a natural resistance in a human being, natural resistance. You abhor, you dislike, you resent. You resent going to these type of places. Now, when you entered there, now that natural resentment and natural dislike that has collapsed, it's broken down in you. Now, for you to go to the second step is easy, very easy. And then for you to cross the lines altogether and go into clear haram, it's even more easier. Because you've done this, you've become immune, you become familiar to the wrong, and you don't find the resistance that was originally. So you broke that resistance, it becomes easier and easier and easier for you to get into haram. So these things that are makruh and mustahab, they aren't supposed to be abandoned. They aren't supposed to be abandoned. People take them lightly, but they are supposed to be taken seriously. A simple thing, like wearing an Islamic attire, wearing a kurta, wearing a topi, wearing a turban. Okay. The first thing is that we need to respect the person that is wearing this type of clothing. Don't run him down. Oh, you're wearing a turban, and you don't know how to speak. So don't run the person down. No matter what wrong he's doing, in spite of his discrepancy, his inconsistency with his clothing, don't run him down like that. Especially in our context and our mahol and environment, we don't run the person down like that. The least that he's doing is he's showing respect to this clothing, that he likes his clothing, and the like for the clothing is a reflection to his like for this type of people, this class of people. You're wearing a designer clothing, so you showing a respect to that company or that circle of people. And he is wearing this type of clothing, he's showing respect to this circle of people. So that's the least that he's doing. Right? Now, it is his wrong and stupidity that he doesn't show the respect to this type of clothing that it requires, that is his stupidity. But the fact that he's wearing this clothing, he is worthy of respect. No matter what, he's got his private life going on, don't worry about that. But the fact that he's wearing this type of clothing, then respect him for it. He likes the clothing, so he's wearing it. That means he likes the class of people, though he is not from them, but he likes the class of people and he wants to identify with them, therefore he's wearing that type of clothing. Then this clothing, for many a people, it becomes a protection, it becomes a shield, it becomes a fort. I'm wearing this clothes here, how can I go to the wrong place? How can I go to a bar? And how can I go to a club? And how can I go to a dance hall? And how can I go to a mixed gathering? I'm wearing this clothing, I've got a beard, I've got a topi, I've got a kurta. So how can I do these type of things? His mind will keep on, his consciousness will keep troubling him. No, it's not right. If he has to go also, he'll go there very embarrassed, very shamefully, very ashamed of himself, and he'll go there and he'll come out quickly, not being observed by everybody. I don't want people to see me in this type of clothing, in this mahol and in this environment. So that becomes a shield, it becomes a protection, it becomes a barrier, it becomes a fortress for you. So we don't consider this thing here as a thing that is insignificant. We don't take it lightly, we don't take it casually. No, it's important. You're wearing that kurta is a great thing. MashaAllah, very good. Okay. You see, for many a people, these type of measures, they act as a defense. Act as a protection. Right? They act as a protection. You won't go into something that is absolutely haram. My one friend was telling me, some woman came with a miniskirt into his shop, right? So he's got a takeaway. So she came with a miniskirt into his shop. So he told her, ma'am, sorry, we don't serve liquor here. We don't serve wine here. She had the audacity to say, no, but I'm a Muslim. I'm a Muslim. That's what she was saying, that I don't drink wine also. I subscribe to the same type of culture that you subscribe to. You see the clothing. The clothing is not conforming with her coming to this. It's not conforming with the place that she is in. It doesn't reconcile. Now, it's a Muslim restaurant, obviously strictly halal. So they don't want a person that is not conforming with this culture. Now she is defiant, she says, no, I'm a Muslim, but. So anyway, in most cases, this acts as a defense, it acts as a protection. So you will guard the mustahab. When you guard the mustahab, then it will be easy for you to practice the sunnat. Because you are particular about the mustahab, now you will be all the more particular about that which is sunnat, and so forth and so on. Many a times it happens, people mix all the priorities. They don't know what they're doing. The problem is that we don't have the understanding, necessary understanding, then we don't have the heart to go and inquire. We don't have the necessary understanding, and added to this problem is we don't have the heart to go and inquire. Man has to perform his faraz namaz, he hasn't performed the faraz namaz, and is going on performing nafil namaz. What do you tell him? Hey, go and do your faraz namaz first. He's got 1 year qaza umri, and then he wants to fly for umrah every now and then. But leave the qaza umri, first go and complete all your qaza namazes that are outstanding. Now what people will say? Hey, people may say, whatever, what are you doing that umrah for? People to recognize you. For people to be impressed. Is that the reason why you're doing that nafil umrah? So get these things that are more important, get it right. Then come to those things that are secondary. Now we don't understand the sequence. When we don't understand the sequence, then this is the end we go. We mix up everything. Get the faraz right. Get the faraz right. Imagine yourself to be in the presence of Allah Ta'ala. Then what will He ask you first about? That you did so many nafil umras. He won't ask you all about that. First He'll ask you is your faraz. What is the outstanding namaz? And is there any outstanding right towards people, any right that is outstanding and due to people? These are the main things that Allah Ta'ala is going to ask. Is there anything outstanding in the faraz namaz or any obligation towards Allah Ta'ala? And then towards people, any obligation that are outstanding? This is what Allah Ta'ala is going to ask you. Now you didn't do this and you're running away for umrah, running for everything else. So they will ask you, go and do this first. To understand what Allah Ta'ala wants from us, at which point and what Allah Ta'ala wants from us, now that is called the understanding of deen. This is called deen. At which point what your Rabb wants from you, this is called deen. If you can understand that, then you have got the understanding of deen. And if you can't understand that, then you haven't got the understanding of deen. Similarly, person, beggars are coming to his place and he's giving out charity. Or take 1,000, 5,000. Now he's in debts. He's paying the banks. He's paying interest to the banks. But he's giving out nafil sadaqah. By go and clear up all your debts. And don't pay that haram interest. Get all that cleared up. Once that is cleared, then you can give any amount. So it's both extremes. Both extremes. So this is the teaching of the Sharia, that we take care of the things according to priority. This is what Rahmatullah is saying here. A kutte ka taqwa hota hai. A dog doesn't have understanding. There's no reasoning ability. So you see when the dog is maturing, then it will raise its hind leg and then it will urinate. Now what is the reason for it to raise the hind leg? It raises the hind leg so that it will save itself from the splashes of urine. So it's very, very cautious. The urine drops mustn't get it. So it will raise its hind leg. But then you go and see the dog's behavior. Sometimes it throws up. And the thing that it threw up, it will lick up again. Don't you see it? It's throwing up the dirt that is napak, filth. And that is the same thing it will lick up. It's got its feces lying there. And it'll go and put its mouth the same place. Same place it'll put its mouth where its feces have fallen down. So on the one end, it becomes so cautious that the minute drops of urine, splashes of urine, it's guarding itself against. But on the other end, it's going 100% into haram and napak, and it's totally disconcerned. So let us not be like that. Let us not be like that. One is that we need to practice these things, and apart from practicing it, we need to display this thing as well, both in our private life and in our public life. I remember one old chacha, I had to meet him for some reason. So he was explaining the problem that he had. He had, coming from a very, very wealthy background, but the problem that he had and how that influenced his life, how it influenced the problem that he had and how that problem influenced his life. So he says, when we were young and growing up and married, in fact, so we were under the guidance of our father. Now, on the one end, when we go to the factory, then we are supposed to have a different type of behavior. There, we must smile at a girl and talk to her nicely, look at her face. If she is extending a hand, you must give her hand, do everything, all that type of things, right? Then, if you receive a consignment, then my father used to get very upset, very angry. If we receive 12 cartons of that product and we write 12, we received it correctly, then my father would get very, very upset. He said, where's your brains? Couldn't you write 10 there? You can claim 2 more. Why did you have to write that you received 12? So this was the norm. This was the type of atmosphere in the business place, in the workplace, in the factory, that we had to, and we had to ensure that we keep even the women clients and the women that are coming, we have to be very respectful, shake our hands, and then we need to show them a good face. All that type of thing was going on. Okay? And over and above that, and we need to be on the workers, we need to be on their heads all the time. We need to be very hard on them. So this was more or less the culture that existed in the business place. Then when we came home, it was a total different story. Now read your namaz and be kind. And this is your sister, so you respect her. This is your auntie, show her that respect. And now it's Ramadan, so you keep that roza. So at home it was a total different atmosphere. And the business place was a total different atmosphere. So we got all confused. We felt within ourselves that Islam is not supposed to be applied into the business. In the business, we can do it freely. Islam is not supposed to be applied in the business. Business is a different thing altogether. And the home is a different thing altogether. There, we have to be deeni conscious. We have to be conscious of Allah Ta'ala's commands and His obligations. But when we come home, then we are different people. Now, what confused this person is his father's ways. His father's ways, mannerisms, confused this youngster. He's totally confused now. What do I do? Where do I draw the line? Here, this is how we are supposed to be behaving. And we come here, then we are supposed to be behaving in this manner. So how important it is that the elders of the house, they are straight. They are straight. Like I say, you guard the nafil, you guard the mustahab, everything else will be guarded and protected in your whole, in your entire structure, in your entire life, everything will be guarded. By the same token, if the elder is straight, he is straight, then everything else is guarded in the house. In the business, everything else is guarded. The elder from the very beginning says, no, this is not right. This is right. This is not right. Do it like this. Don't do it like this. But if you are guilty of that, and then you command him to do something, then he feels it's not so bad. This child will then interpret it in his mind that it's not so bad. If it was so bad, then father wouldn't have done it. The fact that he is doing it shows that it isn't so bad. Okay? Mufti Sahib Rahmatullah explained once that he needed to go for namaz. He was invited to give a talk, so the talk was over, and he wanted to go to the masjid. There was 5-10 minutes left for azan, so he said, he'll go to the masjid, but he doesn't know the road. So one small child, 5-6 years of age, he volunteered to show him, guide him to the masjid. Anyway, the child guided him to the masjid and brought him back home. Someone of the house complained of this child. You know, Mufti Sahib, this child here, he uses some type of abusive language. So Mufti Sahib said, it can't be, it's impossible. This child so respectfully, He guided me to the masjid, he waited for me, I performed my namaz, and then he brought me back home. So this can't be. So now it is. The language that he uses against his grandfather is, Tumhara dimag kharab ho gaya, you gone mad, eating my brains, can't you shut up? Three words, what? You gone mad, eating my brains, can't you shut up? So, Mufti Sahib Rahmatullah was quite surprised. Okay, on the one end, this child was so respectful and with so much of care and love and affection, he took me to the masjid and he brought me back home. But on the other hand, how is he speaking like this? So he inquired and they told him, no, that the granny, sometimes the granny shouts the grandfather in this way, that you gone mad, you're eating my brains, can't you shut up? So the child felt, well, this is the normal behavior. When the grandfather says anything, when Nana or Dada says anything, then this is the answer we're supposed to give him, that you gone mad, you're eating my brains, can't you shut up? But the child doesn't know. He doesn't know what is right, what is wrong. He's picking it up from the elder. Now the elder is feeling very, very upset about it, but he doesn't realize that this is the product of his own work. This is the product of his own work. He started this off, and the child is imitating. You see, this is that European behavior. You can do anything wrong, and then they will say, well, to cover up their tracks, they will say, it's not so bad, it's all right. It's not so bad. So you are making the individual more and more daring. He's more daring towards doing things that is even more serious. And the Islamic behavior is that small thing also, you try and stop him gradually. You correct him. Don't ever be unmindful of yourself and of your dependents. Sometimes it happens that you become over-cautious about the dependent. Your child or the dependent become over-cautious. Every small thing you're hitting them on. Every small thing. Now you have to grow them up. You have to nurture them gradually. Bring them up. Son, it's the right hand you eat with. Then you say Bismillah. Eat with your right. Eat from in front of you. But now you tell him everything. Everything you tell him. You know, son, now you must eat like this and you must chew your food. Very gradually you must chew it. Don't just swallow your food. You know, and clean your plate and, you know, and this is how you must eat. 50 things you told him at the same time. One go, you're telling him 50 things. He can't absorb it. He can't digest it. But you tell him gracefully and gradually, he will take it. So the problem, I got explained earlier and also on Sunday, that we don't consider ourselves to be responsible. We don't consider ourselves responsible. And we can't think how that person will take it. This person, how is he going to take it? So if you can only understand that we are responsible, at any given time we are responsible. I'm responsible. In this context, I'm responsible. In the class, I'm responsible. At home, I'm responsible. What is to be done? And then I must understand also this person here, what is his capacity? How much can he take? He can take so much, he can cooperate so much. To this point, he can cooperate, he can agree. So let me take him to the point that he can understand, not to the point that he cannot understand. It's beyond him. It's beyond him. Now, it's a person you brought from the street and you brought him to the masjid. You know what? This clothing, kuffar clothing, you can't be this thing here. First day he came to the masjid and now you're training. You can't wear this kuffar clothing. You mustn't wear this clothing. Obviously, there's a style, there's a way, there's a system that you will take this person on. If it were your child and the child went off completely, would you have treated the child the same way? He went off completely and now somehow or the other, some Jamaat brothers, somehow they made his tashkil and they brought him to the masjid. Are you going to treat your child? See, you will embrace your child. MashaAllah, he came to the masjid. I thought he was a write-off. They brought him. What dua they must have made and they got this child on to the masjid. So now you're going to patawa him, you're going to pamper him, you're going to bring him up, throw him up. Gradually, he will find his way, he will find his feet. Understand now, you know, these people like me and this is the right thing. And they're showing me so much of love, so much of care and compassion. So I need to go in this way. His heart will open up and he will progress. But that one shot, from one go, from one extreme, you bring him to the other extreme, one shot. In Delhi, Nizamuddin, furthermore, Muhammad Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullahi was informed that a certain person had, na'uzubillah, turned away from deen, became murtad, from deen. So Ma inquired what happened. So now the people that were training him up and tutoring him, they went to tell him all the faraz and the mustahabbat and all the makruhat and sunnats, everything, one go they want to tell him. One go, you have to fast Ramadan like this. And this clothing you must wear. And when you're fasting, you can't do this, 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 this. And you know, Muslims, they must, in the masjid, they must behave like this. And they must come for this namaz. You must get up for tahajjud. And you know, at least 1 hour you must spend it. So all the mustahabbat you're showing him from head to tail, from alif to wassalam, telling everything, all the makruhat, everything, telling one go. Now he says, no, hey, this is not manageable for me. How will I carry on with my life? How can I carry on with my life? So the introduction that was given to him was wrong. They didn't introduce him to the faith correctly. Had they introduced him correctly in installments, gradually, slowly, slowly, he would have come and he would have felt this is natural, this is simple, this is manageable. But now one go, he's in a different direction and you brought him onto a total different direction. So obviously this will be the response. So Mawlana says, just as this person is sinful to become a murtad, and those people that are tutoring, they also partly sinful. They're also partly guilty. It's a way, how it's an approach you need to have for the person, how you introduce him to deen. So today's sabak is this, that we need to understand priority, number one. Number two is we need to be graceful in our approach. And number three is, apart from being graceful in our approach, we need to assume responsibility. I am responsible. In my home, I am responsible. In my business, I am responsible. Okay? Imagine you got a non-Muslim in your employ, right? And you're talking openly, freely, and flirting with a girl. So what does the non-Muslim feel? A non-Muslim feels, well, this is something that Islam condones, that my boss, he's a Muslim, but he talks freely, he's cheering with that girl and all that. So what's wrong? Islam doesn't condemn this. Now you're giving a wrong picture of Islam to this non-Muslim. You're giving a wrong picture to... One person came and told me that he's got some non-Muslim in his employ. And there were some Muslim customers that came in. And they were not behaving correctly. So the non-Muslim is saying, but why is this Muslim behaving like this? He's got a non-Muslim worker. So the non-Muslim worker is asking that this client came into your shop and he's behaving in this way. But why is he behaving like this? I don't see other Muslims behaving like this. But why is he behaving like this? Why is he listening to music? Why is he flirting around with girls? Why is he behaving like this? You see, so you're not acting with responsibility. You are responsible. You are a Muslim. You are responsible. In your office, you are responsible. In your shop, you are responsible. In your home, you are responsible. Then the fourth thing we learned is, then we need to understand the person that we are addressing. We don't need to distance him away. We need to win him to Islam, to deen. Now look at the commitment that he's given, then gradually, gracefully bring him through. Right? He's not performing any namaz, and now suddenly he began to perform one namaz in the day, Zuhr namaz. Then you congratulate him now, enhance him, and pick up his spirit, bring him to the second namaz. Gracefully, gradually, bring him up. Now this person here, he lost the way to the masjid. He never come to the masjid. And he came once in the masjid. Now you see him, you know what? 5-time namaz. And you don't perform the 5 namaz, you're going to go Jahannam. Now is that the way that you're going to address this person? He's come here after so much of mehnat and so much of struggle, he came here for one namaz. This person you're going to address in a different way. Yes, the other person that was 5-time namazi, suddenly now he began to become loose. He's not so punctual on his namaz. Then you tell him about these warnings. So how would you introduce the person? You understand now this person here, this is his level, this is understanding, this is his commitment. How must I speak to him? Right. Allah will tawfiq nasib.